Welcome to the Ruchi Strengthcast. Dan and Paul are the owners of one of the largest powerlifting gyms in the world, Ruchi's Gym, and are experienced powerlifting coaches. Join them as they discuss and debate all things powerlifting and strength training with some fun stuff thrown in. For more information, visit ruchisgym.com.
Good morning, Paulie.
Morning, Dan. How are you?
Man, I'm great. We are unbelievably putting together a new podcast. I think it has probably been about a year.
It's a long time coming, and a lot of people have been asking about the Ruchi Strength podcast.
Yeah, actually, I had someone on the weekend at the comp ask when we're going to be publishing some more because they really like the content. So that was really cool. Kind of got a fire in my belly, and that's when I brought it up with you about trying to do a podcast, even if it's once a month, just to give people an update on what's going on and some of the things happening.
Yes.
Obviously, a big one for us for this podcast is talking about the transition and the move to the new gym, V5, and also have a bit of a chat about your success in ICN Season 8.
Yeah, we can, I suppose, quickly brisk through that.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's kick things off. Obviously, just welcome everyone who's listening to the new podcast, and also let's kick things off straight away with Paulie and maybe discuss his Season 8 performance with ICN.
Yeah, man, like it was an extremely successful season. Me and Richard from the physique coach, he's my physique coach. We worked for about a year on sort of building, and then we started my preparation 20-25 weeks out. And we decided that I would do a competing classic physique locally here at the West Coast Super Show. And then I would travel and compete in my first men's physique pro show. And as it so happens, I also competed in classic physique amateur nationals as well in the pro-am, which was really great. And I ended up winning classic physique champion here in WA, which was really fantastic. Yeah. And then and that sword, it's one of my favorites, is actually the Conan replica sword, which is awesome. I actually watched Arnold the other day, and on
his desk,
he's got the sword. And when I saw it, I'm like, oh, my God, there's my sword. So I ended up winning classic physique here, and then we flew to Sydney, and I competed on the Saturday in men's physique pro show. And I won that, which was awesome. That was a great.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Initially, I wasn't coming, and then because Heidi surprised me with a trip to Sydney, I didn't know. And then she surprised me by getting me over to you in Rudy Hill for the comp. So that was awesome.
That was good. Yeah, that was good. And I knew all along as well, obviously. Yeah. I was in the loop, you know. And then I competed on the Sunday in Classic Physique, the national show. And I ended up coming fourth in my open class, and that was a really – that was such a demanding show.
And that was a very good field.
Oh, it was fantastic.
That was crazy.
It was really, really good. So it was great to come up against, that caliber of
very good. You know, definitely a step up from the men's physique.
It was really
in terms
good.
Of size.
Yeah, muscularity and size. Yeah.
But you still held your own quite well,
I was
man.
Happy.
Yeah.
I'm nowhere near a great poser, you know. So I think my posing kind of let me down a bit with classic physique, which is heavily biased towards posing.
It is, yeah.
50% of the scoring is basically just posing.
Wow.
So you really have to be really, really strong at posing.
Yeah.
And especially at a nationals, when everyone's got great physiques, right, you really have to tick the posing box. You know, you really have to be a great poser. So, which was good because it means I've got a lot to work on if I want to, enter classic physique again. But I really did enjoy men's physique, and it really reinforced that my preference for men's physique over classic physique.
Yeah.
I really like men's physique. Anyway, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a great season.
So you won the local show here in WA for men's
classic physique. Yes.
And then we went over, you won your
men's physique pro show.
Mm-hmm. And then you come fourth overall in the Opens.
In my open class,
classic physique.
Yeah.
So you did quite well.
No, it was a fantastic season.
So two more swords added to the collection.
Yeah, so I've got three swords now, and then I've mounted them just above my desk for anyone to see in the gym.
I've got a question for you, man. Obviously, they're all fantastic, and you know that result is a direct outcome of the effort you put in, right? So, which is actually a post we put up on our socials in the last couple of days about effort and the result. Anyway. you know, I guess people want to know is what things do you think that you do really well in order to get such a fantastic result? Like if you were to name, say, three things mm-hmm. that people could take away from this, what would those three things be that you did really well that enabled you to have such a fantastic outcome? Look, obviously knowing that not everyone's going to have the same outcome because we're all different, but how can people learn from your experience and just be better themselves?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is you need to have conviction in your decision. So what I mean by that is when you decide you're going to do something, like have conviction in your decision and how you came up with that decision. You know, it's your why. Why are you doing something?
Commit to something.
You know, commit to that decision and have conviction in it. The second thing is you really have to like master routine. So, you know, obviously eating the right things and eating to your calorie and protein targets, getting all your training in consistently, and if you've got walking, you know, step targets, getting all your step targets in. So you need to create a routine and you need to master that routine.
Right? Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, master what you can control. So anything that you cannot control, as Richard would say, you put it in the fuck it bucket.
Yeah.
Right? You throw it away because things like who's going to turn up on competition day, like, I mean, I don't care because I can't control that outcome, you know?
And that's very similar philosophy to what we have with our lifters, with the guys in powerlifting.
Yeah. So anything that I can't control, I just throw it away and I just concentrate and I try and master the things that I can control.
Yeah.
Like my training and my nutrition and my sleep and my walking and my attitude, you know? All those things are within my control.
Yeah.
Anything I can't control, I throw it away. So those three things, I think, oh, that's off the top of my head. I think, you know, probably a good place to start.
Yeah.
Like have a decision. Be convicted in decision and commit, master routine, and throw anything that you can't control in the bin.
Yeah. Basically. To be honest, they're really good ones because they're things that everyone can, I guess, relate to and also they can apply.
Also to anything.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to become a doctor or whatever, right?
Yeah,
studying or, I don't know, whatever.
And the only way to excel at something is to apply yourself, you know, and leave no stone unturned. Have a ruthless conviction to the cause.
Yeah, and look, it does take a lot of dedication and time. And look, obviously you have to prioritize that one target that you have, and it does mean that you're prioritizing that goal or that target over other things. Just understand that it's a temporary, you know, when you're doing something like that, it's a temporary measure, I guess. Obviously,
yeah.
Extremely hard on the family because I'm obviously spending a lot of time on achieving all those things that I have to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, and my clients too, and you, and the gym, and the business.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that, you know, we did the move from B4 to B5 at roughly the same time as my shows.
That was hectic.
Which was hectic. It was on me as well because I made the decision ultimately.
Yeah, yeah.
Timing was on me.
And I guess that's maybe a really good segue into sort of the main discussion of today's podcast, and that's to discuss sort of the move to V5.
Mm.
Because I think people, you know, there are people that do have a lot of questions, yeah. Sort of wondering the whys and, you know, how it came to be and the decision making and all that type of thing, particularly those who may be sort of in the industry who have their own gyms and sort of curious to know why you and I sort of made the decision to move to V5 and really change our business model completely from what it was previously.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, there's definitely a few factors, quite a few.
Let's start with some of the whys.
Look, I think initially, and it probably would have been maybe 18 months, even 24 months ago. One of my roles here at Richard's Gym, you know, I'm in sort of a commercial role, or you would say the chief financial officer role, but basically a commercial role. And I try and keep my finger on the pulse in terms of our macroeconomic conditions and, you know, what are some of the factors that might affect our business in the next 6 months, 3 months, 12 months, 24 months.
Yeah.
And I was concerned with all the, basically all the money printing, all the stimulus that occurred during the COVID period, huge amounts of liquidity added to like global markets. And with that comes, obviously, there's inflationary pressures and cost of living increases.
Yeah.
The problem with cost of living increase and a lot of factors around COVID was that you also have sort of wage pressure, like wages not going up with the cost of living. So it's basically wage deflation. You have this wage deflation, but you have this cost of living inflationary pressure.
Yeah.
And what was happening over COVID was that, and we've experienced this even in our own business, it's really, really difficult to find staff. And when you do find them, it can be difficult to keep them. So what's been happening is businesses have been hoarding staff, like, you know, hoarding employees, because it's been so difficult to find them and then retain them. And it's that's one of the reasons it's kept unemployment quite low. So I think what's going to happen is, you know, over the course of the next 12 to 24 months, probably going to have one or two more rate rises, which I expected. So now we've had, I think it's 11 consecutive rate rises.
Last month there wasn't a rate rise.
To about 4.5% roughly in that, that order of magnitude, 500 basis points. I think there's probably going to be one or two more before we sort of hit the top of the rate rise cycle.
Yeah.
And that's obviously going to cause more cost of living pressures on people, because obviously they have home loans to pay back or business loans.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people coming off fixed rate interest.
Yeah, so without getting into without getting into sort of all these macroeconomic and even local economic factors.
Look, I guess the perspective of what we're talking about here is obviously with the cost of living, people do cut spending. And one of the things they cut spending on is discretionary spending. Things like gym memberships and coaching services, personal training. They're the types of things that go before, you know, the requirements of living. Food and shelter.
So in December, late last year, I started really heavily thinking about, where are we going to be if when the market, and we are going to hit a recession at some point. If not, we're already in one. We're just waiting on them to actually call it. And I think once that happens, we're going to see another downturn. We're going to see unemployment come up as, you know, businesses start to let people go. And so end of last year, I think I brought this information to you, and we speak about it a lot, but I took it to you, and I suggested perhaps we need to start thinking about moving, because where we were, obviously we had a huge lease, huge footprint. We already had one rather large CPI adjustment in September
for the lease,
which was a huge amount of outgoings added to our, taken away from our bottom line, I guess. And so I thought, it might be a good time to actually start considering moving. And then we had an opportunity in early December to surrender our lease and move into something else. And at the time, we didn't know where we were going to be moving to. So once we made the decision, I think it was sort of end of December, early January.
The decision to move, it was multifaceted.
Yeah, no, this is just one fact. Obviously, it wasn't an easy decision to make. We didn't just say, okay, let's move.
No. There's a couple other things as well. Look, a big one, I guess, for Paul and I is that, we're 45 this year. We've been doing this for over a decade. And we've always sort of had the concept or the idea of a private facility, which obviously that's where we're at now. And also, moving to a facility that enabled us to work closer with our clients, be more client focused
and client centric.
Yeah, and also try and give us a bit more work life balance.
Yeah.
Where we're spending more time with our families. I've got Ronnie, you've got your kids, and they're all growing up, and we want to spend more time with our family. So the other thing is, with powerlifting itself, obviously we had such a big venue because a lot of that space was used to run the sport of powerlifting. Let's be real, the comps were amazing, fantastic space, and I think you and I did a really good job of getting that to the point where, it was kind of like a benchmark, right?
Well, I think over the course of 10 years, we grew powerlifting and we made it accessible and even popular, to where today we still have lots of demand for people wanting to compete in powerlifting, and that's really come off the back of all the 10 years of work that we did. In terms of, that new growth, obviously like Henry and the Muscle Pit, obviously around a long time.
Yeah, there's a few different factors.
100%.
Well, exhibitions isn't the right word.
No.
But there's a few different contingents of powerlifting, which helps.
Absolutely.
Provide competitions and coaching and enables people to get involved.
So I think when we actually, when we sat down, we talked about this, we felt that we're proud of where we've come from, but, the growth that we've had. And I think I would even use the word satisfied.
Yeah, absolutely.
Satisfied with the growth and also satisfied with the standard that we were able to achieve. And I think one of the other factors as well is we over the last few years, we've kind of felt that it was very difficult to make any sort of improvements.
Yeah, have more of an impact.
Yeah, have more of an impact. And I think it's multifaceted, And Dan and I, we're the kind of people, we always want to challenge ourselves. And if we can't improve, it's, you know, we want momentum, you know. So,
yeah, I guess for me personally, yeah. I'm definitely the type of person to take more risk and want to, whatever I'm doing, I always want to try and improve. You know, with powerlifting, obviously we wanted to make powerlifting better.
We
wanted to bring it to the masses. We wanted to make it more family friendly or bring down the barrier to entry.
Accessible.
I guess for me personally, I kind of felt I was at a point where I don't think I couldn't make it any better.
Yeah.
It was difficult to infiltrate the top tiers of governance with new ideas and, you know, so it was just really difficult. Obviously, we ran a fantastic GBC Nationals last year. And then after that,
you ran a great GPC Open Nationals. I ran a fantastic Open Nationals for APU, which is the IPF affiliate. And on all accounts, those two comps were the best of their standards, which was obviously nice. And that wasn't from me and you saying it. It was from people who came and experienced them. So, we're very happy and satisfied and proud of the standard we're able to achieve in powerlifting. And I think when we made the decision, we thought it might be a good time to hand over the reins to someone else, and maybe they can, you know, find those improvements that need to be made.
Yeah.
So,
I think the sport's always going to be in the hands of people who really care. Obviously, we do care. I'm not saying we don't care.
Yeah.
But it's nice to just get some fresh blood into the mix.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, people with some new fresh ideas, some new energy, and I think that's really important. And so I think it was time. Really for you and I to sort of step aside from running the sport and sort of go down the path we've sort of been discussing for a while. And also, you know, we're at a point now where it's enabled us to work closer with our clients and actually coach at the comps that we go to rather than being there to try and run the meet, you know. So for me, it's been great. It's been very different. I haven't had all the demands that come with running meets.
Yeah.
But obviously that time has been taken up with managing clients and, you know, all that type of thing. So,
look, I think initially, without you in the mix, I initially thought about this, you know, from an economic point of view. And then when we actually started brainstorming this, it all just made sense. It all kind of came to a head.
Yeah, I think everything just aligned really well, out the reasons.
Yeah.
And, I guess that was the decision.
You
and I are sort of at a point where,
And I'm extremely happy where we are, and I'm extremely happy with how the move went. Very smooth move and all that type of thing.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the new business model here at the gym, because it is a bit different. Previously, it was essentially an open gym access. Anyone could join the gym, regardless of whether you used us for services. Like, we had lots of people that were using external coaching services or didn't have a coach, just wanted to use a fantastic facility. The idea behind V5 was to create an exclusive environment where, in order to actually have a membership here, you had to have service of some sort. You had to be either an online coaching client, have personal training, or in terms of one-on-one or semi-private. Obviously, a lot of the people that do train here on the club membership have our coaching/online service, which allows us to manage their training and work with them.
Yes.
So that's really the prerequisite for training here at the new gym, is that you have to have service.
Yeah. And it's a really high-quality gym here. We have all the best equipment, I feel, all the best brands. There's no fake knockoff brands here. It's all the best stuff. And we're still doing upgrades.
So we've actually made some changes since we've been here. We've moved on a couple of the hammer strength machines in favor of some Matrix cables.
Yeah.
So and I think there's a couple more changes to come. Paulie, let's talk about those changes.
So initially when we moved, I wanted to do some equipment replacement, so getting a new hack squat machine. We've replaced the lat pull down seated row machine with a Matrix cable. We've replaced the two hammer strength lower body machines, the leg extension and leg curl, with a Matrix pin loaded seated curl and seated leg extension, which has been great. And I've decided to replace the player loaded hammer strength shoulder press and chest press with a Matrix pin loaded incline chest.
Yeah, does all three
angles.
Overhead, incline.
Shoulders, incline, and chest.
Yeah.
And I'm also getting in a Smith machine, and I'm doing a replacement on all of our incline and flat benches.
Yeah.
Which are beautiful, beautiful pieces as well. So, and also putting in some mirrors as well, which I've ordered.
Yeah.
Can't wait to put some mirrors in over the dumbbells.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think once all that's done, be fairly happy with, you know,
yeah,
the arsenal of equipment that we have here, I guess.
I know, it's a fantastic thing, yeah. Gym.
Yeah.
That was kind of the point, right, to have, you know, a private space for our clients, the people that really want to work with us, they're the ones that get the exclusivity or the privilege of training here.
100%,
you know? Yeah. And, you know, look, I'm not going to lie, there were some people out there that didn't like the change, and well, we knew that was going to happen.
But we did know it wasn't going to be for everyone. So.
Yeah, obviously not going to be for everyone, and we obviously at the same time knew that we were going to be displacing a lot of people in terms of powerlifting and members. But unfortunately, this is a change that Paul and I felt that we needed to make for ourselves and the future of our gym and the continuity of the service that we provide.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons as well is when I first came to you, I felt that I had I've got a responsibility, you know, to your family, to my family, to our employees' families, to make sure that we actually have employment in the next 12, 24, 36 months. And it was something I was definitely concerned about, especially when you tap on, say, another CPI increase in, you know, in rent, and other, you know, other outgoings going up as well with, you know, inflationary pressures. It was something I was very concerned about. And so I think that mixed with all these other factors, I think that it's been really a great decision. And it, like I said, it's sort of all these factors have come to a head, and it's, you know, obviously it's,
yeah,
we've gone to this new gym as a result, right? So,
and I'm really happy. I love it here. I love being close to the clients. I love that my desk, my office is on the floor, so clients have easy access to me. I can quickly get onto the floor, have a chat, say hi.
Yeah, so it's so great having an office on the gym floor.
Yeah, so much better.
Yeah. We've got, like, for those who don't know, who haven't seen, we've got like little partition offices on the gym floor. So yeah, it's been
whereas previously at V4. We were up sitting up in our Eiffel Tower, and it was difficult to go down.
No, I actually didn't like it. Anyway. I didn't like that at all.
You couldn't go down. It was like a 30-minute expedition by the time you walked all the way down and went around and spoke to everyone.
Exactly. I didn't like that, so I much prefer what we have here.
Me too. It's great. It's definitely more along the lines of what... To be honest, it feels like we've gone back to V1, but just in a completely more upgraded
100%.
Facility, service base, client base.
I agree.
It feels more like V1. Yeah. It feels more like home, to be honest.
Yeah. It's great here.
We love it.
And I can clean the gym really quickly as opposed to having a whole staff base, having to clean a huge gym.
Having robo vacuum cleaners and all that kind of jazz. Yeah. So look, they're kind of the reasons why we moved here. You know, and again, we're very, very happy with the move. We think it really suits where we are at this point in our lives in terms of work-life balance and the types of things that we want out of our business, and even also with the types of people that we want to work with, right? So, you know, I don't really know what more to say.
The only thing I'll say is, like, if you want to get in touch, if you want to work at a fantastic private facility with Dan, Paul, Elliot, or even Tom, contact us and let us know. There's spots available, so that's all I have to say, really.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, like Paul said, we do have online coaching services, work with powerlifting clients.
Yeah,
definitely Paul's going to be working with a lot more physique people who are interested in sort of transforming their physiques. And sort of anyone who just wants to get strong or have the accountability and support from someone online like that.
Yeah,
we do have one-on-one personal training. We have obviously semi-private as well, four-to-one semi-privates that run as well. So if you are interested in sort of any of that or want to just create the best version of yourself, make sure you get in touch.
I'm personally also happy to talk to anyone about, you know, some of the reasoning and stuff as well. So maybe there's some business people out there who want to touch base, and I'm happy to talk to them as well.
Yeah. All right, Paulie, I think I've got to wrap it up. I've got a client in 20 minutes I've got to do a bit of prep work for.
Nice.
But hopefully this will be the first of many podcasts coming out.
I think so.
I think, look, I just want to sort of reinforce that Paul and I are not going anywhere.
Yeah.
We are 100%. Still going to be involved in powerlifting, have powerlifting clients, go to powerlifting meets. That's always going to be a big part of what we do.
100%.
Just because we don't run powerlifting meets doesn't mean we're not involved in powerlifting. And I think that's a takeaway.
And I think that we've done a pretty good job over the last 10 years. So,
yeah.
We've done our part, I think.
Actually, it's 11 years, bro.
You know, anyway, I think we've done our part.
Yeah, look, and good luck to the new, you know, good luck to James, good luck to Adam. And
yeah, absolutely, Payne, absolutely.
Who have taken the reins running APL and GPC, and I hope those guys do a great job. You know, look, my advice to you boys is, if you're listening or if you've got someone who's listening that can let you guys know, is just master the basics, right? Don't get caught up or wrapped up in trying to do all this fancy shit when you can't get the simple things done. And I just wanted to say, Adam and Dilly at the House of Pain last weekend did a really fantastic job.
They did a great job.
Do you know why, man? They nailed the basics. The comp ran smoothly.
Yep.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah.
You can
fix all the small stuff, you know.
The problem with meat directors these days, they're too worried about prize money and fancy screens and all this bullshit,
and
they can't run a meat properly.
Yeah,
you 100%. Know? Focus on the basics. Get the basics right, and the other stuff you can clean up and improve later.
That's the easy stuff. And the hard stuff is getting the actual flow of the meat and all that type of thing.
Look, and that's my opinion, for what it's worth. But I think Paul and I have led a really good example in terms of how to run a meat, how efficient it should be. And when you do that, you can have more lifters. The competitions can be bigger, you know.
And it's more enjoyable.
And then once you start bringing in more entry fee money, you can spend more money on equipment, on space, and all that type of thing.
Yeah.
And then you can start looking at doing prize money if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? And I think initially for you guys starting to run some powerlifting is just focus on the basics. Get those right. Because they're the things that the lifters appreciate the most.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap that up. Hopefully you got something out of it. If not, let us know, and we can answer any questions that you have. If you want to get involved with anything we have going here at Ruchi's Gym, whether it's online coaching.
Or if there's a topic you'd like us to cover in a future podcast, let us know.
We want to try and roll a podcast at least once a month.
Yeah, let's target once a month, and if it's more grave.
Because we do get a lot of people ask, you know, about sort of more content. And let me give you guys the short answer. The reason why Paul and I don't get in front of the camera that much or when we don't do that kind of content is because we're actually busy working with clients.
That's right.
All right? We actually have shit to do. So even if we can get one of these podcasts done once a month, try and get out some information, you know, share some information on a particular topic or whatever the case may be.
I'm happy to talk about almost anything.
Yeah, we're happy to do that. So if you guys got any ideas,
it could be outside of health and fitness. I don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, we'll leave it at that. We'll speak to you all later.
Thanks, everyone. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Ruchi Strengthcast. Be sure to subscribe to join us on the journey. And for more information, visit ruchisgym.com.